I was born bold.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Kieser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us this morning. Got a big couple of hours still ahead. Peter Jess, very shortly, front page, massive story of the Herald Sun here in Melbourne. Jimmy the Tyrant Taylor is going to tell us how his training group went. Justin Lepich in the studio after 8 o'clock. Rich Roll interview, Tim. For 10 minutes, you can have an impact. Unbelievable interview, guys. Rich has touched so many, and this could help many more. And then this one. Rich Roll, changed my life, finding Ultra the best book ever. So well done. And then this. Good morning, guys. What Android apps are you using to get your podcast? That's from Dan. We don't know the answer to that, Dan, but we will find out for you because Tim's got no idea.
Well, I tell you how I just punched that into my search engine in my phone.
Yeah.
And up comes podcasts.
Yep.
And then that will ask you what you're looking for. There's another search yes. there. And then I just punch that into there.
So you're going to get your own tech show after yep. that answer.
I'm going to buy a tent too. You're going to get yourself a tent?
Got one.
Does anyone out there sleep in a tent?
Oh, our audience is diverse.
Do you think there'd be anybody listening to our show that actually sleeps in a tent?
It's a very broad church and someone might. So give us a text, 0433 98 11 16. Righto, front page Herald Sun. We've spoken about this often on this program. I still maintain that this is the biggest issue that is confronting AFL football. And this morning we wake to the news, exclusive shock discovery on footy legends concussion trauma. It's about Polly Farmer, one of the greatest of all time. He's become the first AFL player diagnosed with the crippling neurological disorder, which is known as CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Which sounds a lot, but we know from the NFL and from American sport that there's been a class action that was had over there, and the NFL have paid out, we believe, over $500 million. We've spent it maybe more. Peter Jess is leading the campaign here in Australia. He's been a champion of this cause for a long, long time. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Peter. When you read the front page of the Herald Sun, is that going to be helpful in what you're trying to advocate for, or how do you see it?
Yeah, look, I mean, basically what it does is tells us that the science has validated what we've been saying, that this is the clinical evidence of what is the outcome from repetitive, you know, collisions in our sport.
And so, I mean, Polly Farmer is such an iconic figure in this. I mean, for a lot of people, the science can be a bit muddling and baffling, and you get into the real technical stuff of it. But when you read about what he's gone through and what some of the symptoms are of this CTE, it does give us great cause for concern.
Yep, look, there's absolutely no question. And this is what we're seeing now in the current cohort of players. I mean, I'm dealing with 125, 130 past players who, I mean, my worst cases are the younger blokes who, one guy is, he retired at 25, he's now 27. He had 14 clinical concussions in his 56-game career. So he had a concussion every 4 weeks or every four games. And he kept getting sent back to play, and, you know, his life is destroyed.
Peter, is this significant? What we're reading about today on the front page of the Herald Sun, Polly bombshell, exclusive shock yep. discovery of footy legends, concussion trauma, and what it's done for, what it did to him and his health over the period of his life. Is this a significant breakthrough in the class action that you're associated with for the players?
Yeah, look, there's absolutely no question. We now have, you know, the medical and science, and what it does is show that there is this causal relationship, you know, and whilst in the old days it was classified as being brave, you'd go back on and da-da-da-da, you'd play through the pain, you'd play through all of this sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, it then manifests itself as a horrible disease.
Peter, I would think, and I'm no lawyer, as you know, but I would think that if
correct.
the evidence here that you have yes. that Polly Farmer yes. suffered from CTE, but I'm not yes. sure. How do you stitch that together with medical records that may have been kept by Geelong or other teams that he played for over the course of his life that would suggest that the CTE was caused by the result of knocks that he suffered playing football?
I think one of the things that you've got to understand is this: is that science has been working over a long period of time, and there is a study that was recently produced in Scotland, and what it did, it looked at an 80-year period of professional soccer players. Most of them had not had a clinical diagnosis, yet they had a broad spectrum of very significant neurological impairments. And this is what we're finding now, is that there is a significant lack of current medical records. I mean, under the Medical Records Act here in Victoria, after somebody turns 25, 7 years after that event, doctors, clubs can destroy the medical records of players. Now, that vital evidence is legally able to be destroyed. And, you know, I'm trying to get that stopped so that we can have a proper scientific basis going forward for these current generation of players.
So, Pete, we're still learning is what I'm gathering out of all this. And sometimes the more we read and learn, and the greater the concern. Yep. So what do you think the AFL attitude is? Because I don't think for a second that they want... Yeah, this is not something that they want to see in their game. I think they've got the great concern of the players at heart. I really do. But, I mean, this is so enormous. How are they tackling this? What's their attitude to it?
Well, look, I was at the AFL on Friday, and I said to them is this: I want you to focus your lens on prevention and mitigation. I don't want you to spend millions of dollars on CTE research, because we know that's the outcome, right? Mm. Let's just park that. Let's work out how we stop it. For me, that is just so important.
So how do we, though? Because our audience, which are fantastic, rusted on, a lot of them love footy, love their sport. Mm. Their concern is, well, in 10 years, 20 years, are we going to have a non-contact sport?
No, it's about how you look at all of the parts of the game that we can understand that create damage and then mitigate it. Mm. The first thing is this, is that it gets back to science. So I went to the AFL and they said, well, we've changed the return to play protocols and we think it's safer. And I said, but you've ignored the science. The science says that the window of vulnerability for a player who's had a concussion is 4 to 6 weeks. Mm. You're going to allow them to return in, you know, 7 to 14 days.
And what do they say to that?
To me, they said, well, okay, yeah, we'll take that on board. But I've been saying to them, I continually send them research that says, well, look, you know, you've got to address the return to play protocols, because this is when we have the damage intergenerationally. So this means that we haven't stopped it. We know that this has been an issue from Polly Farmer forward. It is still an issue today. So what I'm saying to them is that the primary focus of your lens should be looking at creative ways, novel ways of getting science to step in and stop it and prevent it. And we can do that, but it's got to be funded.
And Peter, but also we've got players, current day players, when this was put to them last week, said that if they could, they'd conceal the symptoms because they'd want to play in the grand final or they'd want to play the next week. So there's still a problem associated with the current day player too, and the fact that they just don't want to be honest with regards to these concussive episodes.
Look, and I'm confronted by that on a regular basis where, you know, it's about getting back to play football. And I said to the guys, you know, what you've got to understand is this, you know, your brain is like no other muscle in your body. It does not regenerate. Once you damage your brain, it is permanent. You know, you can't get, like, if you've got a sore muscle, you can't massage it. You can't do anything. It is permanent. And this is what we are finding, is that if you assault the brain over a period of time, it will be damaged. And this is what we're seeing in the detailed scans. I mean, I've looked at a number of scans over the last 10 years, and quite simply, you know, I know that we'll have the next generation of poly farmers now unless we start to work on safety.
And one of the other things, Peter, that we constantly get here is this is, you know, at the elite level that we're struggling to grasp the seriousness and the return to play protocols that you talk about. What messaging should we be giving to suburban, country and junior sport that are having to deal with it themselves?
Well, look, when we did, and our research is ongoing, right? So what we found, there was absolutely no difference in the level of damage between elite and sub-elite. And that was the most worrying thing I said to the AFL. I'm more concerned also about women and kids. I'm more concerned that what we found is that women are six times more likely to have a concussion than men because of their body mass and also their musculoskeletal, and they take longer to recover. So, you know, what we need to understand is, you know, maybe we need to change the game that they play, right, and which is what I put to the AFL, and it may well be is that we need smart women to create a game for women that doesn't harm them.
And Peter, how many other current-day players or past players have said to you that they will allow their brains to be examined post-death?
Yes. At the moment, I've signed up 130.
How many players have presented to you with these CTE symptoms? You know, memory loss, confusion, impaired judgment, impulse control problems, depression, anxiety. Is that something that you see pretty much in each of these past players?
Well, the AFL's own research said that 73% of the past player cohort is suffering from some form of neurological impairment. When we did our testing regime, we found that, in fact, it could be as high as 80. The presentations, generally what happens is the player lives in a new normal. So what he thinks is normal, his family think that he's cuckoo, you know, and this is the whole problem is that, you know, if you don't understand, that you are damaged, then it is very difficult for you to be helped until somebody else comes along, a third party, other than your family, and says, well, look, you know, these are your symptoms. This is what you need to do. This is the rehabilitation process that you need to adopt to mitigate that.
And Peter, I know you talk to these players regularly. There's some heartbreaking cases out there at the moment that we don't speak about publicly currently.
Oh, look.
We don't need to mention names, but I understand how upset, you know, the last time I had a conversation with you about this, I know that you were extremely upset about somebody that you'd just spoken to.
Look, when it presents, you know, you've got a 35-year-old who, you know, has been advised to have electroshock therapy, right, at 35, you know, something is wrong in our sport, you know. That is like a sledgehammer to a walnut. But this was diagnosed by health professionals, and this person underwent, who's a former player, underwent 8 sessions of ECT under general anaesthetic. You know, for me, that's like, you know, somebody's been watching too many past movies of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, because that's what happens. It's nuts.
It's scary, Pete. It's real. Honestly, keep fighting the good fight. We have... Tim particularly has the privilege of knowing how passionate you are about this and the amount of work that you've done on it. Some of our audience wouldn't appreciate that and don't know, but we do. We salute you and continue the good work.
Great.
Peter Jess. Thanks. You can hear the emotion in his voice. Now, that last one, Tim, again. So, for the, you know, I think most of our audience get this, right? 85% of the people, yep, understand. Now, there's 15, and that's always the case, who think, what a load of grab, and this is a money grab from him. And
it's real.
Just trust us on this. That last piece of information there gives you some indication of how unsophisticated, in lots of ways, we are in dealing with this, like electroshock treatment for this, Tim. For someone that's had concussion issues?
Yep. There's a young man that we know well.
Anyway, we're going to speak to a man who we just put a call into who is very much in the middle of this. Johnny Platton is his name. He's a Brownlow medalist, superstar player with Hawthorn, and he's part of this whole issue, right slap bang in the middle of it. So he'll join us after this. That was a very... And just trust us on this. Peter Jess Hart is in the right place on this. And if you've got a son or a daughter that's playing sport and contact sport, that you want to hope there are people like him that are doing this work.
I was born bold.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Keyser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Oh, great to have your company this morning. Oh, there's a nice little buzz around town at the moment. All the greatest players, AFL players anyway, are here for the big game tomorrow night. Just before 8 o'clock, we started talking about Nathan Fyfe, and I'm just wondering whether we underappreciate his talents, probably because out of sight, out of mind. Hand high in the air, I don't see enough of the West Australian teams play live just because of the way the schedule works.
Why don't you do something about that rather than just talk about it? Why don't you do something about that?
What's like what, Tim?
Well, maybe venture over to WA occasionally and watch a game.
That's exactly.
That'd be a good start.
I've just written that in my book, Tim.
You've still got that ambassadorial role for that new stadium over there.
I've only been there once. I'm going to go to the West. I'm going to go to the Derby.
Oh, really?
I'm going to go to the Derby. Oh, no.
Have you requested that you work on the Derby?
There's a state game on the TV. We're going to lose.
We're going to lose you.
We're going to lose Wisp for the next hour. Lepper, Justin Lippidge is in the studio. Just give me the what year this is, Lepper, because otherwise it'll just be you and me for the next hour or so. Welcome to you.
Good morning, guys. It's before my time, so it's probably about when you were playing, Gary.
He's definitely playing this game.
No, that's Paul Bullis.
Is
Paul Bullis.
Look at that hair.
Oh, this might be the end of our radio show. Put a couple of replays on there. Very good of you to wander in today. It's a great thrill. We don't get to see you too often, but what are we, a couple of months or about a month out? How's life?
Oh, good. Everything's starting to crank up a little bit. You can tell footy's just about around the corner of the games because Barmy starts coming to match committee. Blair Hartley starts coming. And all the guys that they want to see in the team, they start piling in the match committee now. So
no chalky biscuits left now.
No donuts, which is a bad diet for coaches.
It's a fascinating time for Richmond. And this is one of the great reasons or what thrills we've got you in here. I mean, you can judge where they're at. And everyone can say, oh, they've come back hungry and this and that and everything else. But you're seeing it day in, every single day. Back-to-back premierships are as rare as rocking horse poo. And you've lived it and you've done it with your great Brisbane side, and Hawthorn did it. But gee whiz, they're hard to come by. So how do you rate where they're at right now, your group?
Oh, in a really good space. But we're probably this way 2 years ago and, you know, finish the season on top of the ladder. But as we know, that means nothing. The season is two seasons, so you can't answer that question now because it's how we go home and away and then build towards the back half. Feel like a horse racing term. You only win at the end. So, you know, I think we learned some lessons in 2018 that finishing on top, we were probably, everyone was looking at us and studying us, and eventually, you know, by the end of that season, there was teams that were almost beating us, and then Collingwood eventually did. So you got to time your run nicely, I think.
Your depth is scary. I mean, we think about the Tigers now, and we're just doing our homework and looking through it. It's a scary thing to see. Young players that haven't had a crack yet, and older players have only just sort of introduced themselves to AFL footy and where the upside is.
Yeah, I guess it's a good concern to have is how to sort of fit Pickett, Stack, Ross, and even young Riley Collier Dawkins hasn't played a game yet. Noah Bolter, we put him consistently into the team. So there's a few of those guys that we feel are ready to play AFL footy that may miss out early. So it's going to be a really, it's probably a good thing there's six guys missing out Friday night so we can play the kids on Sunday. Let's hope it all works out in the end for them.
You were part of that successful period of time at the Brisbane Lions where you won three premierships in a row, almost four premierships in a row. Is there anything from that period of time that's applicable to today when you talk about teams staying up there year after year?
I don't think anything on the field is the same. It's completely
the way
different.
The way
the game's played. It's totally different. In fact, it would have probably suited me because everyone zones off a bit more than what they used to. But one thing that has, when you see a successful team, the actual interaction is the same, whether it was 20 years ago when I played or what you see with Shane Edwards and Trent Cotchin and Jack Riewoldt, how they interact, the respect for each other, the hard work they do on the field and also the fun they have off it. I think that part of it's very similar, but the game stuff is completely opposite.
Did Lee make it fun, though, back in the day? When you remember back to your Brisbane Lions day, was fun a word that would come to mind?
We all know Lee's a fun guy. No, he just, you know what he did well? He probably just let us run that part of it.
Right.
It's probably more celebrated by the coaches in the modern day, and we probably drive it a bit more, get involved a little bit more than what they used to back. And then maybe the odd assistant coach would come out. But you've got to remember, when did three assistants come in? Maybe early 2000s. So it's not like it's, you know, it's been a lot where you've had this host of coaching as well.
So you get to this stage of the season then and you're preparing and you're looking after the back half still?
Yeah, back half.
So your pillar there is Alex Rance and you're thinking, gee, we're going to get him back. How good are we going? And we're trying to put all the bits around him. And then the news breaks. Mm. What was your first reaction to that?
I knew for a while that, I mean, I knew for 4 years that he was thinking about doing this.
I said it's that not, to someone the other day. He first floated that 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I remember having a conversation in my lounge room in Brisbane. He didn't know whether to quit the game, move to back to Perth, come back, try something new in Brisbane, or stay at Richmond. Or he really was confused on what he wanted to do with his life more than anything. So this isn't a new conversation at all. For Alex, so most important thing is he's happy and healthy, and he seems to be that. So I can't see anything changing anytime soon.
So then, how do you have you got a someone in mind? Do you think or is it about a back six?
I guess the beauty is not the beauty that he was missing since round one, but we're able to fix that problem probably last year with Dylan Grimes and adjusting a few things. So it's just whether. If footy always evolves, it never stands still. So what the team you start the season with is not the team you finish. Like we added Sydney Stack last year and he came in and out, then Marlon at the end. So the teams always evolve. So you can never get fixed too much on what you think's going to happen will happen in the end.
Your team, do you think that's going to evolve again this season in terms of the way you play, or do you think you've found this formula of playing and you're just trying to perfect that?
I don't think you've ever found the formula, because it's games forever changing, and the way we defended at the front half of the year was completely different to the back half of the year. The guys in the industry will know that, and would
can
watch
you tell us? Can you give people an example of what you're talking about?
Yeah, I can. It's just pretty much where you put your numbers.
Right.
I mean, sometimes team load numbers in and try and get front half turnover. Other teams fold all the way back like basketball and try and defend from the back half. And we probably do a little bit different. We've got we probably change a little bit. From week to week at times, but where we put some of our lateral players. So without giving too much away, that sort of stuff we always have to tinker with, and that's where I say the game will evolve, where you put your midfielders. Do they all pile in or do they all pile out? It's the sort of thing that will always change, so you've got to continually be up to date.
Marlon Pickett, what can we expect from him this year, do you think?
Oh, he looks amazing.
amazing?
It's hard to think that. I thought he's probably got not much more in him, because he's 27, maybe he's 28 now. But just his first full AFL pre-season, we can focus only on his body and himself. He was probably one of our best in the trial game we had last week. But he plays like a player that hasn't been coached yet, which is a good thing, because there was one stoppage he ran out and he sort of screwed the ball over his shoulder to the opposite wing. Now, you don't really want to do that, but it's almost like Tom Brady sort of throwing the wide to the wide receiver.
Are you going to give him that license then?
Well, and the winger ran in and kicked the goal. So it was one of those things where what do you harness? What do you let go? So he's still got that natural flair to his game. So we know he fits somewhere. It's just where.
That is a great conundrum. You got this, not a kid, a 28-year-old that comes in who can do all those things, right? Do everything. And we debate this often about people say, Eddie Betts kicks miraculous goals. And I go, yeah, he does, but he has a go at them. I mean, there'd be maybe another 15 blokes in the comp that could do it, but they never do, because it would never occur to them to try and kick left foot banana being pushed to the boundary. They just kick it to the middle. So how much, Tim's point is fascinating, is how much of that do you go, well, I don't want to coach that out of you, so we'll let you go. But then the rest of the team go, hang on a damn minute. I've been here for 8 years. I've never been allowed to do that. So how do you make that judgment?
It's a tough one. I mean, one thing Damien's really good at, and since I've been back, is making sure guys play to their strengths. So you don't want to, but you also don't want to go to the point where you've got 18 rogue players running around on their own. You don't have any structure at all. So always tinkering with their belts. I don't have an answer for you guys. But you're right. I mean, even back in the day, Lee used to let Acker kick goals from the boundary. He was the only one allowed to do it because he was actually good. He used to kick most of them, whereas not many others would. So you've got to let guys play to their strengths.
Barmy had the best answer when he was coaching us. He'd say, yeah, go for your life. Kick it.
Just kick it.
If you don't, you want to go left foot boundary if you're 55 metres out, do it. Make sure you kick it.
So he's amazing. He's looking amazing. Sydney Stack, how's he looking? Amazing?
Yeah, we've only had three guys in rehab really that's, you know, you say he's had not a perfect pre-season. Toby Nankervis, one of them coming off his surgery, Jack Graham off his shoulder, and one of their rookies, Jake Arts, also had a bit of a long rehab. The rest have sort of had small stints in there. So it's we've got a relatively healthy list to start the season. So that's, and everyone knows that's crucial. When we had not a great healthy list at the front half of the year, back half of the year excellent, hence our form got a bit better too. So everything's got to be combined to play well.
With Justin Lepich, he's in the studio. We'll talk about some state footy and reminisce with him. He played one?
One game, the last one.
You would have played more, but it stopped. But I want to get your thoughts on that because we're building up to a massive night tomorrow night. And the Richmond Footy Club are well represented, so I'll get your thoughts on that as well. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals. Justin Lepic in the studio.
I was born bold.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Kieser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Got Justin Lepic in the studio with us. He played the one state game in 99. We want to get his thoughts on that. Right now there's one being played on Fox Footy. Is that, say, 1993 up there?
No, it's 1994, I think.
Is it? No, yeah. It says 1993, doesn't it? Under the Fox emblem. Yep. Anyway, Justin Lepic is here and he's casting a very, very close eye
on,
over
hang
us.
Hang on, hang on a second. Welcome to my world, Justin. As soon as a game goes up on one of the TV screens here that Gary plays in, I lose him for the whole morning. Now, you've experienced it over the last couple of minutes. Just tell the people what goes on here.
Look, he's analysing himself very
well.
You're
in the ad break. You're allowed to have a look at it during the ad break.
He's playing back, which I don't remember those days. That would have been 14 maybe when that
very
happened.
Very Justin Lepic-like in this game.
Given the detail that he can recall this game with, how many times do you reckon he's watched it over the years?
Well, he just sent me just before off air, he said 16 possessions. No. One goal.
I don't think so.
Eight kicked on him.
So. Actually can't remember this one too much.
You've been giving some commentary around Paul Ruse and the role that he's playing in the state game. How would you describe it?
Well, he's in the number one Guernsey, which means he was a captain, and he's taken the captain's prerogative of not playing anywhere near an opponent. He's had about 30 touches. Lepo, you played the last one in 1999. Against?
That was South Australia as well, yep.
What's
the
wet
game. Wet game. Boomer Harvey kicked five. It was the year he probably came of age as a player. Yeah. He was only maybe 19 or 20 himself.
He won the EJ Witten medal.
He did. And a really wet day. There was hardly a stock 20. They were trying to revive it. Yeah. And Melbourne put on one of its best at 9 degree type thing with rain and about 20,000 people. About all who could fit under the bottom under the stands turned up. And we won pretty easy in the end.
Are you disappointed that you weren't around when it was bigger than it became, obviously? Well,
yeah, I am now. Looking, when your career's over, you wish I'd spend more time in these types of things. I think one thing about our game, we don't sort of have that all-stars or state-type rivalry, things you can look back on and moments you can be proud of, apart from the, obviously, premierships are one thing, but more the individual things where you can link together. So it'd be good if that did happen. I think back in that era, coaches really took over. No, we don't really want to play them. That's sort of the era that guys were getting pulled out for you know, their local club reasons.
Yeah, we've talked about how seriously the Vics are going to be taking this game tomorrow night. Now, you see it close at hand with the coach, Damien Hardwick, obviously the coach of the Vic team. I mean, he's taking it seriously.
Oh, yeah.
This is not an exhibition game in his mind.
No, they want to win. I mean, I think one thing you'll find is the players themselves are just so competitive and they're coming up against the best. So there's no way it's going to be very hard. So I was playing on Gary. It's going to be very hard to say, I can't just let this guy kick fix on me today, can I? Like, that mindset surely takes over.
And the legacy, this might be the last one. Who knows? Or the last, because it's an extraordinary circumstance. So that's exactly right. You don't want your legacy, the last legacy of state footy or playing for Victoria, having someone kick five on you or get belted. Who was in that team that was, there's always a pecking order, and we can all remember back to our very first time of representing, you know, Victoria or whoever, and you just were that nervous about doing anything wrong and all you wanted to do was make sure you're in the right spot. Now, who in that group was sort of barking orders at you?
Well, David King was on the halfback. He was always good for advice, even when I was playing against him, he was good for advice. But I've worked out even in your own team, he's good for advice as well. But Rowan Smith, though, those halfback flankers were good. They'd probably played four or five games. Yep. So that was really good. I was really nervous. I'd almost had jelly legs for the first
Who'd
half
you play
of the
on,
game.
You
so I played on Warren Treadray. He was maybe his first game as well. He was maybe a year or two younger than me. So we're both probably in the same boat.
Just talking about the leg rope that Gary gave his direct opponent in this state of origin.
I just want to say this. You missed me very best bit of
playing. Oh, you haven't, though. Just describe it. Just describe. I saw your eyes glaze over there. But did Lee ever give you the license to sort of play a loose man in defence, or was he a stickler for you playing on the best forward?
No, I had to play on the best forward every week. But it used to give you the way you wanted to play it, I guess. You know, there was times where every player you play on in defence is different. And, you know, if it, nowadays you match up pretty much specifically on who it is, whether they're a gun or whether they suit pretty much suit your style. So he'd play in Nick Riewoldt, who can, or Richo, they could run. I'm not a great runner. I was an okay runner. Or you'd play in a medium type at times, and depending on who the opposition had. Now, so from 1 week you're playing a Barry Hall, who's a pretty tough type, maybe not a long runner. So you're going to keep adapting your style a bit. So every now and again I'd have to do things like let Riewoldt run to their halfback line to get a kick, or Richo, because I just was stuffed. Yeah. And he used to say to me, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, at least if he looks up, he has to kick it back to me.
Yeah.
And he used to say, yeah, but it looks bad. You know? So that was. But nowadays guys do that. We do that deliberately nowadays.
Well, of course, but I mean, isn't that funny? So Lee Matthews is the greatest of all time in my mind, right? So, and such a great coach. But what that doesn't make sense, right? You go, here's your great, you know, marker, read the play. He's not a great runner. Therefore, if Nick Riewoldt wants to run,
let him go,
and I'll pick him off. But Lee says, no, it looks bad.
It looks bad, yeah. So, but I think I might have turned him around by the end. But
did anyone challenge Lee?
No, not directly in a serious way. But Darryl White used to say the odd thing in a meeting that was pretty funny. But not a lot. Lee was a pretty self-assured coach. We had a pretty good team. We're all on board. So it was a pretty good era.
Just to if we can digress a bit, front page.
I know why we've got Gary back, because they've gone to an ad during that.
Spot on. Front page, Herald Sun, Polly Farmer. And this story, we've been talking about concussions and the issues and how, you know, it's the biggest issue, I think, in footy. Anyway, you coached Justin Clark, another young man who's lost to footy as a result of this. What can you remember about all that and how it unfolded?
Oh, it was a training incident. It was a really, really bad one to see live. So one of those ones that really rattle you. But I worry about it a little bit, because it's a bit of the unknown in footy. I'm sort of glad that we've put in more stringent things in, and I think it should go even further again.
To what degree?
Even guys that get concussions, I even find them next week, their form's no good. Like, just as you watch over time, so they don't even play well anyway the week after, because even if they feel like they're okay, they've got a bit of remnants of something there. They've had a hit. It's like a corky, you know. It might be only a week, but you've still got a little bit of something that's not quite right in your seat, running well or whatever it is. So
your thigh muscle compared to your brain muscle.
Exactly. So I hope there's more work done on it. There's a lot we don't know. You know, I think we're pretty good now at resting players when they get these things, but it'd be great to put in a bit more stricter stuff.
Well, just speaking of Peter Jess, and we've sort of done a bit of reading on this, the return to play protocol is the one right now. We understand it's difficult to diagnose. We understand that, you know, it's going to take time. But this, you know, some would say that it is a 4-week minimum. 28 days is the minimum before you should even think about it. Do you think, from a club land point of view, they'd be open to that?
Maybe. I think as coaches, we just do whatever the medical departments say. Our best interest is with the players. So if they say it's a month, it's a month. So one thing you will find, that you don't want to put it to a time that a player will start saying, you know, feigning things and not coming up front either. So it's got to be a happy balance between. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm glad for the long term we're thinking about it.
Hey, mate, we appreciate you coming in. It is, when it gets busy during the season, we know it's hard, but you're always good to us, and it's great to see you, and good luck for the Tigers.
Thanks, boys.
Good on.
Good luck with the rest of the game, Gaz.
Well, you go out there and watch this next half hour, will you? Give me a report. Open season at Kiwi, match-winning deals, Australia's best 7-year warranty across the range. We'll be back after this.